you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point. If you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. We've been talking here several weeks on sin, sin traps, and mastering sin. And last week, we kind of touched a little bit on strongholds. I do a daily word every Monday through Friday at exministries.com, and you can actually get them delivered directly to your mailbox. So every morning, Monday through Friday, you can have a fresh word from God. It's a brief little sermonette or whatever you want to call it, but we send them out to hundreds of thousands of people, get them every day, Monday through Friday. And so you can actually get it by signing up on our main page at exministries.com. But I did one on strongholds. I mean, it was so good, and the response was so large until I just felt it befitting to go ahead and do a message this morning on strongholds so we could deal with it more in depth so that people can get a hold of this and actually make a change and do something about it. And that is the key thing. So let's jump right into this. I first want to give you Webster's definition of stronghold so you can understand what the word really means. As a noun, it means a place that has been fortified or strengthened so as to protect it against attack. Now, when we're talking about a stronghold, David hid from his son Absalom when he was looking for him to kill him. David hid in a stronghold of Koresh, which was a cave in Koresh, and there was a rock that looked just like the cave that David could go into this cave, pull the rock behind him, and it wouldn't even look like a place that a person would be in because the rock would actually match the cave, and so he would be hidden. That was a stronghold to protect him, you know, and that works good when you're the one inside the stronghold and you need fortification. Nahum 1:7 tells us that the Lord is good, a strength and stronghold in the day of trouble. So when God is the stronghold and when you're in God, then God is protecting you from your enemies. And that's a good place to be when you're in the stronghold. But the stronghold of the mind that the scripture is telling us in 2 Corinthians that we need to pull down is actually a place where the enemy goes in and hides. And it's where he can pull a rock back and make it look like nothing is wrong, and no one will be the wiser except for the person that is being tormented by the existence or the indwelling of the enemy. Now, we're talking about Christians here. Sinners, there is no stronghold. A sinner's stronghold is sin. Because they're not in Christ, you can't even call it a stronghold because the devil owns them. He's not holding them strong. He owns them. So we're not talking about sinners here, but we're talking about Christians and believers, those that believe on Jesus Christ. But they have these issues, and these issues are strongholds. They're in your mind, and this is where the enemy can go and hide. Let's start reading at 2 Corinthians 10:3, and let's get an understanding of this. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Now, this is very important here. Let's take it from 10:3, "For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. So this is telling us that our battle is not carnal. We're not fighting against each other here. And people, you know, when you hear me mentioning names and talking about different ones that are doing things in the public eye and trying to straighten out things that are being done, this is not a war against them. This is a war against the deeds or the actions that are being done. Those actions are spiritual. You know, so when we mention these things over the microphone or mention these things on our website and different things, people jump on the defense. Oh, how can you call out the man of God and the woman of God and all this? And I'm constantly trying to tell them, you know, I'm not calling them out. They're already out. They've done it already. It's been done in the public eye. That's not calling someone out. That's pointing and saying, look, this right here is not of God. So why are we condoning it as a body of believers? There has to be someone on the wall that will call sin what it is and call out the inconsistencies that a lot of ministries are a part of. You know, even here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's a freeway, I-30, and on I-30, there are billboards going up and down I-30 that homosexual ministries have placed up there. And I mean, one billboard after the other, one after the other, you know, saying that Jesus didn't discriminate. Why are you? And Jesus condoned a gay partner and just a bunch of lies. I don't know what Bible these guys are claiming to read from, but they actually have scripture on the signs. They have where to find the scripture, not the actual scripture. Now, you would think if they were trying to prove a case, especially one so grave that being stank, nasty gay is not a sin, then they would have some scriptures up there to prove it actually in writing. But no, they just have where to find it because they know you driving and you're not going to even pay attention to that. They're just trying to make a public statement now, preparing for June 2010, you know. And the funny thing is, I was talking to a preacher and he was saying, yeah, we're going to get all the preachers together and we're going to get together and we're going to get these billboards pulled down, man. And this is an outrage. We're going to stand and pull all these billboards down and we're going to come together. And then, and I said, brother, you know, that's ridiculous. And he was like, what? You don't think the church? I said, when it was time for the church to fight against the agenda of a president that was going to give homosexuals license to do this, none of the preachers stood up. People were blinded by his color. People were totally blinded. And when I was trying to preach and tell people, hey, this man y'all are voting for has a homosexual agenda and he's going to create homosexual freedom for the nation. Now he's giving them their own month to celebrate. It's going to be billboards everywhere, commercials on TV. All the businesses are going to cater to them. I mean, it's going to be new textbooks passed out for the students and they're going to have pictures up in their classrooms. You don't understand. When I was trying to tell the folks what was going to happen, didn't nobody want to listen. As a matter of fact, all my engagements started counseling and preachers started saying, we're not going to bring you to town because you're not with the current president. So I said, okay, so now you want to get together and try to pull down some billboards that were christened by the president that you voted in with an executive order? I tell you, y'all, people trip me out sometimes. But anyway, let me get back to strongholds before I get on that, because I'm telling you, y'all, this is getting very, very ridiculous when the church will lay down for what they want and then try to stand up when it's too late. This is an outrage within itself. But the scripture is telling us that we're not fighting a flesh and blood battle. And if we're not fighting a flesh and blood battle, we cannot be coerced by flesh and blood. We can't be blinded by flesh and blood. But we have to make sure we understand there is something spiritual working, not just with a president, but even with an entertainer, with a musical artist, with an actor or performer or somebody that we've fell in love with because of their music and because of their ability or because of who they are. We have to understand that that is a natural outworking of them, or that is a natural image of them. And we have to make sure that we don't get so attached to the natural image of that person that we begin to forget that there is something spiritual working in that person. This is why the scripture tells us that in the end, people will worship the image of the beast, not just the beast himself, but the actual image of the beast. It's images that people will be drawn to. And because people are drawn to these images, they lay down spiritually because they're so coerced by what is happening naturally. This is why the Bible is telling us you better separate that, so you'll understand that there is something spiritual going on, and our weapons have to be spiritual, mighty through God, so that they can do what? Pull down strongholds. Now, if your stronghold is watching R-rated movies with a bunch of cussing and sex and junk in them, then you have to understand there is something spiritual going on here. So the actor that you like shooting up folk, and the actor that you like taking their clothes off, these kind of images that are in your mind, you have to make sure that you're not so attached and indoctrinated by these images that you can't take a step back and say, what is going on in the spirit realm when I am attracted to these images? Because if there's something going on in the spirit realm, then you're going to have that thing pulled down. But if you're attached to the image, then you can't pull it down, because you're going to continue to desire the natural. And this is why God is telling us here, we got to separate it. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So every high thing, that's everything you put too high or put up in God's place. The scripture is clear here. Paul is letting you know that strongholds come, they come and lift themselves up high. But the thing about a stronghold is the devil pulls a rock behind himself and hides in your mind, finds him a place where he is safe, a safe place. So the minute you want to give yourself wholeheartedly to God or want to live for God for real and quit playing games, this is when the enemy goes back in his stronghold, pulls the rock behind him and says, no, this is my place. This is my safe place. And if you aren't doing this in the spirit realm to fight this and combat this spiritually, then he will always have a place in your natural mind. But understand something. When Jesus comes to live in you and you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, that means you are free. Romans 6 and 18 says, and having been set free from sin, you have become the servant of righteousness. And in the Amplified, it says of conformity to the divine will in thought, purpose, and action. What is that saying? That's saying that when we become servants of righteousness, we conform to God's divine will in three ways. In thought, that's the changing of our mind and conditioning our mind to be free, which can be a process sometimes, especially when you've gone through something traumatic, even in your childhood or whatever. We have to condition our minds to think freely. In other words, we can't go around with guilt trips and being guilty and ashamed of who we once were. But when our mind is changed, we have to understand that Jesus Christ has changed us. He's made us a new creation. So we have to walk around in that mindset that we are free. So when the sin or the temptation comes, we can speak to that thing, that high thing, and say, no, I'm free. Devil, you can't go back in that stronghold, because the stronghold is not there. Why? Because I am free. And then he said the divine will, we have to conform to his divine will in purpose. That means we have to make what God wants for us what we want. That's our purpose. When God has a purpose or a plan for you, you have to condition yourself to want what God wants. He says if you delight yourself in him, he will give you what to desire, but you have to first delight yourself in him. This is why a lot of times God is trying to move us on from certain situations. Some of us are in the wrong church. Some of us are at the wrong job. Some of us are in the wrong place totally. God is trying to move us into a purpose so we won't have the can't help it and the depression and the sickness and the all of these things that come upon us when we're not operating in his will. He's trying to push us to his purpose and his will for us, but we don't want to go. We've gotten comfortable where we are, and we don't understand that where we are is associated with how we live. And we don't understand that that wrong place puts you on a wrong path, and that wrong path makes you do wrong things that aren't pleasing unto God, and it becomes a stronghold. And then the third thing, conformity to the divine will in action. You have to do what God says and never get used to the wrong way. And we've been talking about this for weeks now, but when you get in sin traps, when you don't master sin, you begin to do things the wrong way and not the way God says. And then you'll begin to call your will God's will. You'll start going to churches where people will support your will. You'll start surrounding yourself with people that will support your will. You'll find some resource that will put your will as God's. God's will. And once you change God's will to your will, then you are a servant of yourself and not a servant of righteousness. Now, the way strongholds work, the way the devil gets in there and hides, is because of usually some kind of traumatic experience. Maybe you went through something, abandonment, molestation, something terrible when you were young. Maybe you saw something you shouldn't have seen, something pornographic, or you got a hold of something, whatever. And a stronghold set up in your mind. That's because what you saw and what happened to you, you internalized it and kept it a secret. Now, you know, a lot of young people sometimes are on computers and different things, and they'll see a porn site or something, even by accident, and they won't say anything. They won't tell nobody, won't go and say, "Oh, look what I saw," or, you know, "Mom or Dad, I saw this or I saw that, and I don't know what it is or what was that." Because if you would go and tell someone, it doesn't have to be porn, but any kind of situation like that, even abandonment or even molestation, if a person is molested or hurt or something, and they go and tell their mother or father and say, "You know what, Uncle Johnny did this to me, or my stepdaddy did this to me," and they open up and externalize it, then no stronghold can be set up. The devil has no place to hide. But when it's internalized and when it's secretive, and when you don't open up your mouth and tell somebody, that will become a stronghold, because the devil has a legal place, by legal rights of you being silent, has a place to hide. If you're silent about it, he has a place or a spot to hide in your secrecy. This is where he sets the stronghold up. I want you to hear me, people of God. This is very important. This is a life-changing message. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." This scripture is talking about talking to someone about what has happened to you. Now, this is not saying you got to get up before the church and, you know, do something real just stupid. "Y'all pray for me because I got a problem lusting after y'all's children." I mean, you will end up getting shot at for something. I mean, that is dumb. I'm not talking about that. And people do that all the time. Get up in church with the dumbest testimony. Some stuff you don't share with everybody, but you go to somebody either in leadership or somebody you're close to. But when it comes to personal things, especially when you're dealing with children, you and young people that are listening to me, you go straight to your parents, those that are feeding you and taking care of you. I don't care if you think they won't hear you. I don't care if you think that it's embarrassing or whatever. You go straight to them and let them know what has happened to you, and you go to them and say, "I saw this or this happened or that," and you don't allow a secret agenda of the enemy to set up. Because when you internalize it and don't talk about it, you're talking about years and years and years of future torment if you don't deal with it, of a stronghold being set up in your heart and in your mind. Once this stronghold is set up, it's hard to deal with the devil in secrecy. So if you're not letting somebody know that, "Hey, I saw this happened to me," whatever, and you're not getting it out in the open, you can't be healed. You know, even in Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, the first thing they tell you to do is admit you have a problem. You have to go in there and say, "Y'all, my name is Billy and I'm an alcoholic." And they'll say, "We love you, Billy, but what you did, you got it out in the open so it can be dealt with now. No more hiding, no more secrecy." And they are smart enough to know that if it's hidden, it's still an issue. So this is why it is required of us, according to James, to confess our faults one to another. That doesn't mean get on the internet and Facebook and let everybody know what's going on. No, but you confide in someone, and the person you confide in may break your trust, but that don't have nothing to do with you coming clean about it so it can be dealt with. And once you deal with it and confess your faults, that person needs to pray or be able to pray for you. And once they pray, they will be able to continue to pray for you, and you build a relationship about it, and you can talk to them about it, you know. And now, I'm the kind of person, I'm not big on a bunch of brotherly love and sisterly love kind of relationships when a person is in a marriage. You know, I believe that the husband and the wife should talk about things like that. You know, if you're having an issue, husband, or if you're having an issue, wife, or something that you're hiding in secret or whatever, I think that y'all ought to talk about that yourselves. And I believe that that keeps lines of communication open. But when you're single and you don't have anyone to talk to, you need to have a friend or a minister or someone you can confide in and share these things. Get them out in the open so the enemy cannot use it as a place to hide in you, because those secret places, they say a lot of times, you're only as sick as your secret. So those secret places are where strongholds are set up, and the devil can pull the rock up, hide in there. You can't get free. You can't fight it. You can't combat it. You go up to the altar and get prayer for it. You cry, you snot, you do all of these things. But until you're able to confess that thing and get that thing out in the open, you're going to have a problem. And please don't take it to a priest and a priest's booth. That's some foolishness. You do that, the priest keeps Jesus from getting it. So don't do that. But you confide in someone to get it out in the open. Let me talk about this before I close. There is a condition, a psychological condition of the mind called Stockholm Syndrome. Stockholm Syndrome, I'm going to read you the definition of it. It's very important. It's a psychological response sometimes seen in abducted hostages, in which the hostage shows signs of loyalty to the hostage taker, regardless of the danger or risk in which they have been placed. And of course, this syndrome is named after the Norrmalmstorg robbery in Stockholm, in which the bank robbers held bank employees hostage from August 23rd to August 28th in 1973. In this case, the victims became emotionally attached to their captors and even defended them after they were freed from their 6-day ordeal. So listen to what this is saying. Stockholm Syndrome is when you are in bondage by someone or taken hostage by someone, you begin to love or develop a relationship with the person that is holding you hostage. Then even when you are free, you're loyal to your captive. This is what a stronghold is. This explains it better than anything. Some of us have had strongholds of our minds for so long, and the enemy has had a place in your life for so long, until you've fallen in love with that place in your life and are afraid to get totally free from it. I know that sounds weird, but I know to many that hear me, you understand. Low self-esteem, low self-worth, all these things, especially when it comes to the uncovered emotions of a woman, especially if you've been married before and now you're not, or you're out on your own, and these different things. A lot of times the enemy comes at these times to set up strongholds in your mind, and those strongholds become a protective place for you. So it's like you and the devil are in the stronghold hiding. It's like, to protect yourself, protect your feelings, protect your emotions, you and the devil pull a rock behind you and you both hide together in a stronghold. Y'all, this is a very dangerous state, but a lot of people are here. Then when the gospel, like this message, and the gospel comes to free you and sets you free. Many of you have been praying for a new church, but you can't leave your old church. And opportunities have come where men of God have come, and they have ministries that you would love to be a part of, but you have Stockholm Syndrome in the spirit, where you can't get free. You won't even walk away and leave, and you know you need to, but you will not, because you're comfortable with your captor. Are you listening to me? The person that is holding you captive, the enemy, you're comfortable with that place in your life, and you don't want change. Some of you are on the wrong job, and you've been praying, God, get me out of this job, Lord. I know I need to leave. This environment is not helping me. As a matter of fact, I'm doing things at this job, God, that I know are not pleasing unto you, and I'm doing things that I know are against your will. I know demons and devils are in operation here, God, and I'm promoting it myself. Lord, get me out this job. And God is bringing jobs to you, but you don't have the courage. You've fallen in love with your captor. You don't have the courage to leave and go on and do what God said. Some of you have even been offered more money at other places, but you will not leave where you are, but yet you'll pray for change. You'll pray for God to do something. You'll pray, Lord, I need a breakthrough. God, I need a miracle. And God is saying, I brought the miracle and the breakthrough to you. I brought a new job to you. I brought a better church situation. I brought a better living condition to you, but you wouldn't leave your captor. And this is like, you know, a woman that is in an abusive relationship, and she won't leave that man because she has Stockholm Syndrome. She loves him, so she will take his beatings and won't leave for her own safety. She knows he's molesting her children, won't get her children out that situation, tell them to be quiet. Why? Stockholm Syndrome. This is the same thing I'm talking about. There are people that are listening to me preach right now, have a stronghold in their mind that they and the devil have climbed into and and pulled a rock behind them, and they don't want to come out even though they want to come out. Listen to what I'm saying. God has made a way for you. He's made a way of escape. God has always made a way of escape. He has brought truth to you. He has brought an open door to you. He has given you an open door to walk away. He will take care of you and protect you. But because you have Stockholm Syndrome, you've fallen in love with your captor. You love where you are, even though it may take you to hell. Even though you're living a life full of shame and turmoil, you're always in trouble, unhappy, always unhealthy, always broke and don't have any money. You're always down at the bottom, weeping and wailing at the first of the month. God got a better way for you. He's already shown it to you. He's offered it to you. He's brought it to you. And you don't want to leave your captor. You've become loyal to the enemy. You loyal to your captor. Listen, people of God, this is a real thing I'm talking about here. This is what the devil loves, y'all. He loves for us to not be able to be free. He loves for us to walk in bondage. He loves for us to be miserable. Don't you know that when you're like that in that situation, you can't bring anyone into the kingdom because you're not a good example of a kingdom steward. You know, before you got on that job, before you went to that church, before you joined that group or that social group or that fraternity or sorority, before you did those things, you were excited about the things of God. But now, because you're in the wrong place, the things of God have become just a game. They're just a part of the scheme of the life you live. Why? Because you have Stockholm Syndrome. You're bound to your captor and you cannot get free. 2 Corinthians 10:6 in that passage we read earlier says this. It says, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, meaning to preach and stand against the disobedience of men, it says, when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, your own obedience has to be fulfilled. You have to do what God wants so you can be in position to revenge all disobedience, to come against disobedience, to preach what God wants you to preach and stand like God wants you to stand. But you need your own obedience fulfilled in order to do that. And how do you do that? You got to get delivered from Stockholm Syndrome. You got to wake up, people. You got to open your eyes and see that the enemy has you captive. Where you once said you'd never be, you're there now. What you once said you'd never do, you're doing now. The way you said you would never behave, you're behaving now. And you've become just what God doesn't want you to be because of Stockholm Syndrome, because you're in that stronghold with the devil. And God is saying, be free from the law of sin and death. Come out and walk in the newness of life, in righteousness, and pull down that stronghold of the enemy so you can truly be free. I hope you've enjoyed this message and I hope you got something out of it. Y'all, this is very important because we as a body of Christ, we will never be where God wants us to be with spiritual Stockholm Syndrome, falling in love with the sin and the captor and getting so comfortable in the wrong place until we think it don't bother God anymore. But understand, God wants you out of the wrong place. He can't bless you while you in there. He can't help you while you in there. He won't hear you while you in there if he's constantly telling you to come out of there. Let me pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I praise you, God. I give you glory and honor for this message. I believe this message was from you. I believe that this is the truth of the word. And Father, there are many under the sound of my voice, Lord, that have spiritual Stockholm Syndrome, God. They've fallen in love with their captor. God, they are hiding in the stronghold with the enemy. And I pray right now that they hear this word and will come out of that, back into your face, God, back into that place that they used to be in, where you meant more to them, God, than popularity and fame, where you meant more to them, God, than the applause of wicked men, where you meant more to them, God, than a place that is sinful but comfortable, where you meant more to them than that hidden secret thing that has them bound. Father, get them back to that place, Lord God. Get them back to that place, God. I pray right now with the authority you've given me that you would open their eyes, their minds, and their hearts to receive believe this truth, God, so you can welcome them back to the place where they need to be so they can see you and hear you, believe on you and receive from you. Father, you have blessings for them. You have peace for them. Some of them you have a husband for. Some of them you have a wife for. Some of them you have wonderful things for, God, but they can't get them if they've fallen in love with the captor and the wickedness of a captor. If they've gotten Stockholm syndrome and won't move, Father, how could they continue to pray for freedom and they won't even walk away from that which has them captive? Father, I pray that their minds would conform to you and your divinity and they will change in Jesus' name. We'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.